Bring your greetings of love this morning from our Savior Jesus Christ, in the name of our Savior, the name of our Savior who came as a who lived in human flesh and ascended on high and is interceding there for you and I today. I would like to look at a few scriptures this morning. Prophecies in the Old Testament in relation to that were fulfilled in the New, in relation to the coming of Jesus as a baby. I'd like our children to follow after that as well this morning. But then I'd like to look at the life of Mary this morning, a vessel that God could use in the bringing the Savior to the world. I think there's a lot of truths there for us that will make us better vessels for our Master to use today. Go with me first of all to Isaiah 7 verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus as a baby. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, referring to Jesus. That was the sign to the Jewish people. We live on the other side of that this morning, where Jesus had come as a baby. We live in a time when the world is commemorating Christmas. To many, they have moved Christ out of the picture. I don't believe December was probably the time that Christ came as a babe. We don't know the exact time. But I think it's right that we take notice of it. Because he did come as a baby. He came in human flesh to redeem mankind back to himself. Jesus was eternal. To you children this morning, Jesus was eternal. He was back there in creation. But he came down in human flesh. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he says this: For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That was fulfilled in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. We're going to be looking at Luke a bit later in our message this morning as we look at the life of Mary and the vessel that God chose to bring the Savior into the world. And then you go to, let's pick up at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. You could also look at Hosea. I'll just mention that one. Was when Hosea said the child would live in Egypt and would be called out of it. That prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But looking at 11 chapter 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Referring to Jesus and his lineage and where he comes from. Now we could look at hundreds. We could look at over 100 scriptures in the Old Testament this morning of the coming that prophesied and was fulfilled literally in the New Testament. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in the days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Referring to the coming of Jesus. And there's others we could look at as well. Psalms 2:7 states that he would be the Son of God. Be fulfilled in Luke 3:22. Tells us the fulfillment of that prophecy. The birth of Jesus was not an ordinary birth of just any person. It was well planned by God himself. The birth of Christ ushered in God's promise that a Savior could come, that a Savior would come, and through him, any could come to God and be saved and be the redeemed of the Lord. I think we're going to move right into the message of the morning as we look at those prophetic scriptures of, and again I say you could look at over 100 scriptures in the Old Testament that were fulfilled literally in the New and the coming of Jesus. And we wonder, where did the Jewish people miss it? But maybe we're missing some things today too. Mary comes to us in the Gospel of Luke as a picture of a woman that was used by God in a mighty way. You can go to the first chapter of Luke, chapter 28, verse 28, Luke chapter 1, verse 28, where he says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." I see something here. She was an ordinary woman. She was an ordinary woman. But I believe she was one in her life. She found wealth and wisdom. And I find wealth and wisdom in this message this morning for my own walk with God. But God used her in a mighty way. She was an ordinary woman. She was engaged. She was planning to get married. Probably thinking about her wedding and all the things that are planned in a wedding. I don't know what she was thinking, but if she was a normal girl, she was thinking about her wedding. Dreaming of being married to Joseph. Dreaming of the new home she would have. Where they would live. And of the family they would have. I don't think she was expecting anything like this. The significance of Mary's life was not based on the things that the world values. The things that the world values, such as background, physical beauty, intelligence. No doubt she was a beautiful woman. Not education. The natural gifts and abilities. God wasn't looking at it in that way. As he looked down and saw Mary. But he saw a woman that was faithfully serving right where she was. Fulfilling the call that she had in her life. You know, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. That's what the angel told her. You know, that is what made all the difference in her life. And that is what's going to make all the difference in your life. Sisters, brethren, maybe you're going through the routine of life and you don't see the value of it and it becomes a chore to you. But remember that even in the normal routine of life, you are serving God. And sometimes God brings interruptions into your life. Either side of the house, these principles can apply. God brought an interruption in the midst of Mary thinking about getting married. In the midst of thinking about a wedding, God brought an interruption here. Wow. Secondly, I want you to see that she was a very undeserving woman. You and I are undeserving of the favor of God. God did not choose this young woman because she was worthy of the honor of being the mother of the Savior of the world. The angel said to Mary, "Greetings. You are highly favored." God highly favors you this morning, not because of who you are, or because of all your abilities, but because of a vessel that he can use. That phrase could be translated, "You are graciously accepted." If any of us this morning is to be accepted by God, it will be because of the grace of God. Because we are about human this morning. But I believe Mary found her place with God and where He had called her. God will call you Father as you fill your place right where you are in all faithfulness. It is because of the grace of God. Over and over again in Scripture we see that God chooses people who are undeserving. God didn't look down from heaven and say, I see a woman over here who has the credentials that I need. I see a woman over here who has the abilities that I need and I can use her. He saw a woman who was faithfully serving. And He came and arrested her attention by the angel. Mary did not deserve to be used by God. But to the contrary, she marveled at God's grace in choosing her. The moment this morning we cease to see ourselves as undeserving instruments, chances are we will cease to be useful in the hand of God, in the hand of that potter. Do we see ourselves this morning as undeserving? Thirdly, I see Mary here as a woman that was filled with the Spirit of God. I believe that everyone who has named the name of Jesus, God has promised us His Holy Spirit. I brought that out in the instruction class this morning. He has promised us that He will fill us with His Spirit. And that Spirit will guide you into all truth. And I believe that Mary was being guided by that Spirit. If we're going to be a vessel that God is using this morning and throughout life, we are going to be a vessel that is going to be filled with the Spirit of God. But we too must be filled with that Spirit if we are to fulfill the purpose for which God has chosen us. When the angel said to Mary, "You're going to have a child," I can't imagine what her first thoughts were. "Lord, I'm not married. I'm not married." But she said, "How can these things be?" But God had chosen her for a task that was humanly impossible. And I believe that that is the way God could bring the Savior into the world. Through that kind of person. That was humanly impossible. The task for which God has chosen you and me is no less impossible. We can share the gospel of Christ throughout the world. With the people we meet, to our lost friends and to our lost relatives, may we say. But we cannot give them repentance and faith. It is something they will have to receive themselves and accept and grow and be used by the Master. But are you willing to be used as an instrument in His hand? You can provide a climate that is conducive. As parents, you can provide a climate in your home that makes it conducive for your children to come to the Lord Jesus at the time of life. And for the spiritual growth of your children who have accepted the Lord Jesus, you can provide that atmosphere to make it conducive for that. But you can't make them have a heart for God. But have you done what you could as parents to make that right atmosphere, to make that happen? It's impossible for you to do it for them. In response to Mary's expression of weakness and inadequacy, the angel promised God's strength and adequacy. The Holy Spirit, in verse 35 of that same chapter, He says this. Chapter 1, verse 35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Can you imagine with me this morning what may have went through her heart and mind? Don't ever forget that you cannot do what God has called you to do in your own strength. You cannot do what God has called you to do in any strength of your own. You cannot parent that child in your own strength. You cannot love your husband, sisters, in your own strength. You cannot care for that elderly parent in your own strength. You cannot do those things of life in your own strength. You cannot submit to your boss. You cannot submit to those over you, even in the classroom, at school, in your own strength. You cannot have a Bible study with a group of people in your own strength. You cannot have bad attitudes toward others and expect to be used by God. God specializes in the impossible, so that when the victory is won and the task is completed, we cannot take any credit to ourselves. And that others know we didn't do it. And we know we didn't do it. But we must always remember that we can only live the Christian life and serve God through the power of the Holy Spirit that He has given to us. As soon as we think that we can handle things and we've got things under control, we have lost control because we didn't let God. And it's at that time, as soon as we think that we can handle things, we become useless in the hands of the Master. We have to be willing to get out of the way. We have to be willing to step aside and let God have complete control of us so that we can be used as a vessel in His hand. Fourthly, I see Mary as a woman who was made available for God's use. How is it with you this morning? Are you available for God's use? Whatever it is, it might be some real interruptions in life. But are you available? Equipped with the promises of God. Mary's response was simply in verse 38. She says this, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." I wonder what went through her mind as that angel departed. That was quite a load of information. But it was simply this, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you said, and I'm willing, Lord, to be used of you. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I'm willing to go where you want me to go. It don't matter where it is, I'm willing to be used." May it be said of us that way. I am available. You're my master, Lord. I'm your servant, and I'm willing to be used however you choose. My body is yours. I am yours, Lord. Sisters and brethren, do we say that? Do we pray that? I am yours, Lord. However you want to use me today. Whatever brings more glory to you, and are we willing to submit to that? In that act of surrender, Mary offered herself to God as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that's when it's acceptable to God. In a living sacrifice. She was willing to be used by God for His purposes to bring that Savior into the world. And it says in Scripture that Mary pondered all those things in her heart. I can't imagine what went through their heart, what went through their minds. Willing to endure the loss of reputation, willing to be misunderstood by the society around them. That was certain to follow when people realized that she was with child and they were not married. Willing to endure the ridicule and even the possible stoning permitted by the Mosaic law. But God was in it, and man was not going to dethrone it. Brothers and sisters, this morning, when God is in it, it will not be overthrown by any man. Willing to endure what it took. Mary was willing to give up her own plans and agenda. It changed the plans for the wedding. It changed everything in life for her. Maybe sometimes God brings interruptions into your life that just change the total direction of things that are going. Can you accept that? How about you this morning? Can you expect those things in life that are abruptly changed because God allowed something else to come into your life? In the next point, I see she is a praising woman. And God puts challenging circumstances we're talking about in our lives. We either worship Him or we whine and complain. Children of Israel many times complained. Maybe sometimes we hang our head in shame because we complained about our circumstances in life. May we never complain about the circumstances that God allows in our life. Do I need to go there? Do I need to do this or that? Or why do I have to deal with that person? I'm reminded of the children of Israel in the wilderness who murmured constantly. If only God had just let us die in the wilderness, you know, finally God took them up on that. Be careful what we say. Be careful the attitudes of our heart. Because God just might allow that. Let's be a praising people and praising God for the things in our life. So when Mary's little world kind of turned upside down and things changed, and all of a sudden, here we are making plans for these wedding, for this wedding. And boom. 46 to 47. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." What a blessing. She saw God in it all. You know, in all of the disrupting circumstances of our life, in changing circumstances of our life, can we see God in it? She worshiped God and His wonderful acts for His mercy and for choosing her to be a part of His great redemptive plan. So, when interrupted by things out of our control, let's remember to praise God. Let's praise God that He has chosen to allow us to go through whatever He's called us to go through. I also see her in the next point, a woman of the Word. A woman of the Word. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55, we did read 46 and 47, picking up at verse 48, "For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He that showed strength with His arm, and He that scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath set empty. He hath sent empty away. He hath holden His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." A woman of the Word. Mothers and fathers, are we men and women of the Word? And we know what God is saying. This morning in the instruction class, we talked about the importance of devotional life and meditation and allowing the Word of God to sink into our hearts and to be a part of us. Her prayer. One of our greatest needs as men and women today is to become men and women of the Word, so that our prayers and our responses and our words are saturated with God's way, with the ways of God. The Word, the world does not need to hear our opinions about things. But they need to hear about what God has to say about these things in life. If they come to us for advice about training children, or how to get along with a boss, or about their financial problems, or their fears, or their depression, or the issues that they face, we need to say, "We don't know, but right here is the Word of God. We can take them there, and we can show them what God has to say about those things." Let's be men and women of the word that we know where to go to when we people approach us with those kind of questions. We can say, but I know someone who does. I know God. When Daniel interpreted those dreams, he said, I can't do it, but God is able to give me the interpretation of that dream. When people come to us, but God is able to give us the answer to those things when we take them to the Word of God. And the last point, Mary, I see her as a wounded woman. 8 days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took the infant to the temple in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 35. And I don't think I'm going to take time to read all of them. Begin at verse 21 once. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angels before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. And we're going to leave off there. But they come to present him to the Lord. And Simeon, who had been waiting for the appearance of the Messiah, took that Christ child, you read in Luke chapter 2, in his arms, and he blessed him. Simeon spoke of how the child would be a sign that would be spoken against, foreshadowing the cross experience and the suffering that he would endure for you and I. Then Simeon looked at Mary and spoke words that she would not fully understand as she stood there presenting that child, until she stood beneath that cross of Calvary. For her son, 33 years later, in verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I wonder what went through the heart of Mary as she stood at the cross and saw her son on the cross, the Savior of the world. Mothers and fathers, have you laid your children down for the sake of Christ and His kingdom? Have you given them to the Lord? As they grow up, you teach them, you train them, and someday, are you willing to let God use them in whatever way He sees best fitted? Another word pierced Mary's heart, this one even more deeply than the first. But I believe she understood that her son was dying, not only for the sins of the world, but also for her own, to give her deliverance. I believe Luke 1 verse 47 emphasizes a point here, where it says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. As he stood in the temple at age 12 and talked with the doctors and lawyers, as good as she was, Mary was not good enough to get into heaven, but through redemption. And that's the way it is with you and I today. Through the shed blood of Jesus, through the victory over sin, the victory over death, we now can walk in newness of life and be prepared to meet our Savior, our Lord. I believe Mary, in Isaiah 53 verses 5 and 6, it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. For more than 2,000 years, her life has provided a portrait of a godly woman who, like Mary, to be used of God. This morning, my last point is this. What I'd like to bring out to you is that I'm more concerned about where are you in your relationship with Jesus this morning. If we had time, I was going to look at some of the attributes of the relationship that God had with the Father. That's perhaps a message in itself. But where are you at in your relationship with Jesus this morning? Are you committed? Do you understand that feelings will come and go, and that you must get on the very real business of loving God Himself, loving Jesus, and that will cause you to love all other people and have right attitudes toward others. There are times when you feel great joy, compassion, and excitement about being a Christian, and there are times when you don't feel quite that way. But listen, the Bible doesn't say the just shall live by feelings, but the just shall live by faith. Our faith is based on facts this morning. Feelings will change, but walking with God takes faith. It takes commitment, and it takes consistency. You know, the Bible tells us about a man who we're told very little of. And I want to look at this man yet very quickly. And his name is Enoch. And it says that he walked with God. There are, I believe, five scriptures that speak about Enoch. And two of them relate to the genealogy of Enoch, but he walked with God. My challenge to you this morning is, are you walking with God? Enoch walked with God. The analogy of walking and the Christian walking in the Christian life is used throughout Scripture. But what does it mean to walk with God to you this morning? It's not just merely living by rules and regulations or making daily resolutions that we quickly break. It's much deeper than that, and it's much more than that. I believe the prophet Amos revealed an important truth about what it meant to walk with God when he asked, can two walk together except they be agreed? Is that how you're walking with God this morning? The second principle of Enoch, it says he was well-pleasing to God. Is your life pleasing to God this morning? You know, he had this testimony that it pleased God. Yet God knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailties better than anyone else, better than even we do ourselves. And he is not. With him, we can please him. So how do we please God? God is pleased when, in spite of the fact that we are in the right sometimes and we patiently endure when being misunderstood. That's when God is pleased. God is pleased when children obey parents. God is pleased when there's respect for authority. God is pleased when we worship Him with others. Thirdly, principle 3 with Enoch is that he was a witness for God. Are you walking with God? Is God pleased with you? And are you a witness for God? Enoch walked with God. He was well pleasing to him. And lastly, he was a witness of God. And that's the testimony Enoch had about God. Every Christian this morning, every one of us has a testimony. People are watching us. People are looking at you. They are observing us. And we are the only Bible they ever read sometimes. May it behoove us to see the importance of never letting them down. Before we can effectively witness for God, we must first walk with Him. Because Enoch walked with God. He saw this world for what it was. How about you this morning? Shall we pray? God, we come before you this morning in humble hearts. We just pray, dear God, that as we walk with you, you would continue to show us the way. Pray for each one here this morning. May you bless them, Lord, as they endeavor to walk with you, their lives might be well pleasing to you. It's what we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.